Good morning, Your Honors. If I may reserve 2 minutes, please. My name is Jason Saunders of Gordon and Saunders, and I'm representing the appellant, Mr. Martinez, in this matter. I'm going to concentrate really today on two issues in the briefing, because I know there's multiple, just the search issues, as well as possibly the spousal immunity, if we have a chance to go there. Under the Washington Constitution, no person shall be disturbed in his private affairs or home invaded without authority of law. It is that very authority of law that's in question here. What we have in this case is Texas agents going to get a search warrant, and that search warrant was valid, allowing only Texas agents to seize and view material in a computer.
Does the text of the warrant have that limiting information?
Yes, it does, Your Honor. And of course, any Texas court would have lack any authority whatsoever to tell Washington agents what they can and cannot do. They just lack the authority. Only Washington courts can tell Washington agents what can be done and what can't be searched. And the state is trying to say, well, this is a lot. You know, once that privacy expectation has been opened up, it's gone. And they cite multiple cases. Each one of them were Washington cases where in one case for a DUI investigation.
Is there some authority for the idea that once your privacy rights have been breached, that it's confined by state lines?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. Could you repeat?
Well, it seems to me you're suggesting that, his right to privacy may no longer exist in Texas because
right.
Texas got the warrant. But outside of Texas, his right to privacy and that same information still obtains. And I'm trying to – is there some authority for that?
There's not, and I don't think the state nor I found any cases talking about out-of-state jurisdiction. But I think what happens in a case like this is the state constitution, which says if you want to look at any kind of computer device or anything at all, documents, you have to get a search warrant. And if you don't have a search warrant, you better have an exception to the search warrant requirement. And there is no exception here, and there is no warrant here. So
do we still use a reasonable expectation analysis to decide whether your client had a reasonable expectation of privacy after Texas had obtained its warrant?
No, we don't. I mean, it's an absolute right of privacy, and especially in the modern day when I was citing not only the Washington cases but the federal cases.
You would apply Washington constitutional law to the conduct of Texas law enforcement authority within the state of Texas to hold that your client has an absolute privacy right to these records?
No, Your Honor. And I'm not arguing that. That is completely...
Tell me what's wrong with how I've just characterized your argument.
Washington courts cannot tell Texas agents what they can and cannot search. They are bound by...
That isn't what I had assumed there, though. I assume that you're asserting that the Washington Constitution provides your client with an absolute protection of his privacy interest in records that a court in Texas has already allowed Texas law enforcement people to look at.
Yes.
And you're telling me that right is absolute, and we don't look about what's a reasonable expectation once that warrant is issued.
That is true. And
what case tells us that's the right analysis?
I think you didn't go down the next step. The next step is now that lawfully obtained material that Texas agents had the authority to look at ends up in the state of Washington. What happens to that computer information that's in the hard drive in the state of Washington? Well, Washington agents must get permission, authority of law to view that material.
You have to go to a Washington court to get permission to go to Texas and look at the information?
Nope. They could have gone to...
So if Texas mails it here, they have to go to a Washington court to open the envelope, but if they go to Texas, they can just look at it.
Yes. Yes, Your Honor. I think that's true. Well, I don't think the state and I are going to find any cases on point for either side of the argument, but in the state of Washington
if they went to Texas and looked at it, could they bring that information back to the state of Washington and use it then without a warrant, or no?
No, Your Honor. What's happening in this case is we have the authority to investigate and they have the authority to detain possible contraband information in that hard drive. But unable to view it under the Washington Constitution, Washington agents must have a search warrant or an exception to the search warrant.
Let's change my scenario a little bit. Rather than going to Texas and looking at it, they go to Texas, look at it, discover what's on it, make a copy of it, and bring it back to Washington. Is that okay?
Yes.
So the difference is that they had the Postal Service or some delivery service bring it here rather than they personally went down and picked it up and brought it back?
Your Honor, under Washington law, they must have authority to view that hard
drive. But that is the difference, right?
That is the difference.
Okay.
That is the difference. And I think Washington case law is clear that, you know, without a search warrant, in the state of Texas, you might have a reasonable expectation of privacy. In the state of Texas, police might be able to look at this and not that. But in the state of Washington, we have our own laws. In the state of Washington, if you want to view something as sacred as your hard drive, which contains every piece of information of your entire life, then you must get a search warrant under Washington Constitution or an exception to the search warrant requirement. And neither of those were followed. The state keeps bringing up cases from the state of Washington, talk about the loss of the expectation of privacy, but all those cases, two of them in particular, were once information is lawfully obtained in the state of Washington through a search warrant, the blood or DNA profile, you can either then test that material in the state of Washington, or you can use that information to find out if there's other crimes.
We had a case a long time ago, State versus Raffaele, where the Canadian government engaged in behavior that would likely be unconstitutional in the state of Washington.
Yes.
Washington Supreme Court didn't even take review of our opinion, saying that evidence was admissible in the state of Washington as long as there wasn't a due process violation. So why isn't the same sort of analysis apply here? As long as there was no due process violation in sharing the information between Texas and Washington, we don't examine under Washington law some special privacy interest that isn't recognized in Texas.
I think the difference is this is not a due process right to not use confessed tapes rather than an expectation of privacy that is absolute under Article 1, Section 7.
Due process limitation seems to be the limitation on the silver platter doctrine.
And Your Honor, the silver platter doctrine goes specifically towards foreign entities allowing Washington entities to receive information that in the other jurisdiction was lawfully obtained, but it wouldn't be in this jurisdiction. And that's where I'm arguing the Texas authorities did absolutely nothing wrong at all. They're allowed to hand over that material. I'll say that. May I finish that? Okay, thank you, Your Honor.
May it please the Court, I'm Kathleen Weber, and I represent the state of Washington. I don't normally start an argument with a harmless error analysis, but I think it's important in this case to recognize the minuscule amount of information that was admitted into evidence at trial that was obtained from the searches of the mirror image hard drive and the computers in this case. The only two pieces of information that were really introduced in this case from that source were cumulative of other information that was also admitted in evidence.
Is that the information that came from the victim?
Well, there's a Facebook communication between Mr. Martinez and AK's sister, which AK's sister testified to. And then there was also several internet searches indicating that Mr. Martinez had some concern about his personal liability once it became public notice or public information to the police that he had this videotape that he'd made of AK that was potentially child porn. And that's duplicative of testimony that Ms. West, Mr. Martinez's ex-wife, testified to, indicating that he had that same concern when he emailed her and said, hey, you know, the police are looking for this video information, and it's still on that Dell laptop, or if you still have that Dell laptop. So it's really duplicative of information.
Is counsel going to be able to get up and tell us that the state would not have discovered this other information but for having had access to the hard drive? In other words, fruits of the poisonous tree kind of analysis?
I don't think so, because AK was a wealth of information. The police talked to AK's sisters beforehand. They talked to Mr. Martinez's ex-wife. So they had an independent investigation. It wasn't anything that was involved in this computer that was really, basically what they got out of the computer just essentially corroborated what information they already had. Remember,
well, didn't AK give the video to the police?
She did. And the video is the search, the computers that were searched was not the Dell computer that had the video on it. The video was on two VHS tapes that the defendant gave to AK, and AK turned those over to the police. That's the basis of the entire child pornography charge that the defendant was convicted of.
So you really, didn't need the computer. You had the VHS videotape that was handed to the police in the state of Washington by the victim.
That's correct. That's correct. She actually gave it to the police in Texas, who turned it over to the police in Washington.
So, but do we have the same crossing the jurisdictional line?
No, argument? No. And that leads into the next part of my argument, where I think that there's been a conflation of what's really going on here. There were two search issues. One has to do for the mirror image of the hard drive that the Texas police obtained when they served their search warrant. Defendant does not challenge the validity of that search warrant. It's the state's position that that mirror image of the hard drive is just like a photograph, and the defendant didn't have an expectation of privacy. It was not his private affair once the police took a picture of the mirror image of his hard drive.
Which they were entitled to do.
Correct. Which the police in Washington would not have needed a search warrant to view a picture taken by another jurisdiction. Say, for example,
counsel seems to be arguing that if the police had gone down and picked up that mirror image and brought it back, it's okay, but because they first obtained possession of it in the state of Washington, a different set of rules apply, and those are the ones under Article 1, Section 7.
Right, and there is no authority to support that proposition.
Is there any authority to say that argument fails?
Well, there's the whole line of authority that says, when does your privacy interest end? And the privacy interest ends when the police have obtained, through authority of law, that's Article 1, Section 7, when the police have obtained lawfully somebody's private property. So in this case, police lawfully obtained in Texas a mirror image of the defendant's hard drive, and he lost any interest, privacy interest in that mirror image of the hard drive when the police served that search warrant. You know, quite frankly, I'm not sure the police even needed a search warrant for the computers under the same theory, but they did get a search warrant for the computers under this to protect or to respect Mr. Martinez's rights in that is specifically and, you know, not undeniably his property. I mean, there's no argument to say that at some point those computers were his property, whereas the mirror image never was his property. But the computers were his property. He lost an interest, expectation of privacy in those computers, too, when Texas served the search warrant. The other line of authority let me just follow up on that, is that it's true, in Washington we don't have a specific case where somebody in another state actually got a search warrant, lawfully obtained it, and then handed information from that search warrant over to police in the state of Washington. But the cases that have the Cheatham case and the Gregory case are all cases where there was a justification for the police to view somebody's private affairs, and at that point their privacy interest was diminished to the point where police could continue to look at it. And that applies here. The other is the silver platter doctrine, and I know the defense has argued that the silver platter doctrine doesn't apply because what the police did in Texas would have still been legal here in Washington. But I think the court needs to step back and look at the rationale for the silver platter doctrine. The rationale for the silver platter doctrine is that it does not serve the purposes to protect the privacy interests under Article 1, Section 7, to suppress evidence in the state of Washington, in a prosecution in the state of Washington, where evidence was legally obtained in another state, and the police from the state of Washington had nothing to do with obtaining that evidence in the other state. It equally applies with even more force in a situation such as this, where evidence would have been legally obtained in Washington had the police gotten the same warrant that the police in Texas got. It absolutely serves no protection interest in this state to suppress evidence under the circumstances where the seizure in Texas would have been legal in Washington, or to limit that, to limit the silver platter doctrine to only circumstances where it would have been illegal in Washington, and not apply it in this situation where it would have been legal in Washington. I disagree. I once again would say that, you know, the court needs to understand that there are two different things going on here. There's the mirror image of the hard drive, and then there's the computers that there was a search warrant for. That's a completely different analysis that has not been discussed this morning, but it is a completely different analysis, and that both because the defendant didn't have a privacy interest in that mirror image of the hard drive, because the defendant had lost any expectation of privacy in that mirror image and in his computers once the warrant was served in Texas, and because the silver platter doctrine would apply, the search of both the computers and the mirror image of the hard drive was legal in Washington. The court did not err, and I ask the court to affirm the defendant's conviction.
On the spousal privilege, does resolution of that issue turn on a substantial evidence analysis?
Well, it turns on an abuse of discretion analysis, I think. Because
That's the evidentiary part of it.
Right.
But this is the exception that he was a guardian. How do we look at that?
Well, I think you look at it to determine whether or not there's any evidence that would suggest that he was taken care of or had a guardianship.
So it is a substantial evidence.
Right. And here Ms. West did testify that when she was with us, we were responsible for her care, as well as all the other evidence that I cited in my brief that would suggest that when AK was at their home, participating in their family activities, including outside activities beyond babysitting and having meals with them, and he was helping her with her homework and teaching her to drive and all that kind of stuff, he was acting as her guardian. And I think that in that respect, the court did not err. It did not abuse its discretion in finding that the guardianship exception to the spousal immunity applies here and allowed that evidence in. With that, I'd ask the court to affirm the conviction. Thank you.
Thank you. Your Honor, let me start off just by talking quickly about the mirror image. Under the state's new theory, that is just a picture taken from the hard drive, and you don't have a privacy interest in it because it was never yours in the first place. So I guess Washington law enforcement can now go seize computers, make mirror image copies, and now search
that.
Well,
haven't you added a step that didn't happen here? The computer seizure occurred in Texas with lawful authority that you don't challenge.
That's right.
So what's wrong with the police making copies of it and making that available to other law enforcement entities?
So Washington agents would be able to, therefore, lawfully seize, take a computer out, but without a warrant or anything to view the materials on it, which would have to be in the warrant. They just make a hard drive, a mirror hard drive, and now view that material. It's because it doesn't...
Your analogy doesn't work because, in your analogy, there's no lawful right of any law enforcement entity to make the mirror image. And under the facts of this case, there was an entity that had lawful authority. The question is whether they can share it.
Right. And the answer to that is that mirror image is an exact copy of every stored file on a computer, and therefore, in the state of Washington, recognizing that absolute right to privacy, you cannot search it without a search warrant in this state. I also want to talk quickly about the iSalt case, because I thought that was the closest thing we have to what we have in this case. That was a case where a repairman came into a house, saw a marijuana grow, called police. Police came out, looked in, see what he saw, and the state of Washington said, no. You need, even though you have the information that that's what's going on in the house, and even though the repairman will let you in and look at it, you need to get a search warrant to look for that. We ask the court to reverse the conviction. Thank you, Your Honor.